Tonight's encouragement talk will be from Diane Fitzgerald, our beloved assistant tanto for this session. This will be her last talk as a senior Dharma teacher. I say this because I'm given to understand there's some kind of secret ceremony which may be taking place and may involve colored garments and titles.
So one more chance to talk a little bit about case 96 in the Book of Serenity. And Zhu Feng and the head monk. This is a profoundly sad case, and I think pretty rare among the koans. Don't really recall them so many leaving me feeling so badly, and I think you know, there's just that one little tale at the very end of the verse about taking the quiet step, and behold, the flying dragon. And so, you know, I mean, life can be profoundly sad, and I don't think anyone comes to practice Zen unless you have encountered that. And so there's that flying dragon, and I sure would like to get one myself, you know. I would much rather have a flying dragon than profound sadness. So I have to tell you, from the start of our looking at this case, there were two other koans that came to my mind, and I think it was because I was looking for that flying dragon. And they're kind of similar to case 96, so I thought I would just talk about them a little bit. And one of them is from the Chinese Zen master Baizhang. And Baizhang was starting a new monastery, and he wanted to put one of the monks in charge, and everyone assumed it would be the head monk. But he decided to have a bit of a contest, and he put a water bottle out, and he said, "So you can't call it a water bottle, what can you call it?" And the head monk sort of proudly said, "Well, you can't call it a clog." And it seemed like a good answer, you know. And then the cook, you know, it seems like the cook in all of these stories always gets the upper hand. the cook comes in and kicks over the bottle. And then Baizhang laughs and says, "The head monk loses." So, I mean, this is not tender Zhu Feng, you know, caressing the poor head monk. This is the teacher laughing at his head student, and imagine, you know, his humiliation. And so he sends the cook off to the new monastery. And but what's kind of interesting to me is, you know, what happened to this head monk. And he left, and he went to the mountains to be by himself. He was just so overcome with shame and humiliation and feelings that he was behaving in such an infantile way. He was, you know, a Zen adept. Why was he getting so worked up about this? And he just could not get out of this hell realm he was in, all by himself up in this mountain. And he just practiced and practiced and stayed with it as much as he could. And one day this traveler came by and said, "Hey, you know, the cook that went over to the monastery, there's nobody coming. Now, you think you could go help him out?" And the head monk, he just couldn't do it. He was not available. And the poor cook, you know, he's up there, and the only people with the cook were the monkeys. So, and this is kind of what happens when you answer a question the way your teachers find satisfactory. But, But back to the poor head monk. So there he is, and then one day he hears the head monk loses. And he hears it as though he heard it for the first time. And the world breaks open for him. And this reminded me of Kate's beautiful talk when we first started this sesshin a couple years ago. and at the end of the Groundhog Garden, you know, just, the Groundhog Garden, you know, just the head monk loses the Groundhog Garden. And what Josh said during this afternoon's lovely Taisho, when this... I'll probably get this wrong, so correct me if I get it. Let's see.
Stay with this.
When this just as this, yeah. When that just as that, right? Yeah. When this just as this. When that just as that. Mm. And then there's just one other little case that came to mind for me, which was... I'll just talk about a little bit of it. And this is the Chinese master Dai Shan, who is one of my very, very favorite guys. And this is when he's very old. And he has his bowls, and he's in the monastery, and he's walking toward the Zendo with his bowls. And the head monk stops him and says, you know, it's not time for dinner. What are you doing? You know? And... you can tell the head monk thinks he's a doddering old fool, and Dai Shan is just there with his bowls. And what Dai Shan does is he turns around and goes back to his room. I just find this to be practically the most poignant koan piece in all of the literature. You know, Dai Shan with his bowls, confronted, you know, questioned, and he just turns around and goes back to his room. Oh, it's not time to eat. And so Dai Shan, you know, wasn't always like this. When he was a young man, he was quite full of himself. He was an expert on the Diamond Sutra, and people called him Diamond Zhao, and he went all around talking about the Diamond Sutra. His... you know, whenever someone asked him a question, his first words were, I know. But then, after a lifetime of practice, an old man, when confronted, he just turns around and goes back to his room. So, we have heard a lot at the ordination last night and at the Jukai ceremony. About caring for the Dharma. And I'd just like to say that the Dharma cares for us, too. Mm-hmm. And my teacup in the morning and the smell of Willie's coffee on the porch this evening. Mm-hmm. And the nervousness in my stomach before I started talking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for me, the one I love is always with me. The one you love is always with you, even when we don't notice. Always right here. Thank you.